Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today. Yo.
Back here on Cody and Gold, again, breaking news from Indianapolis. Ian Rappaport and now others reporting the Chiefs are expected in going to franchise tag defensive lineman Chris Jones. What does that mean? Well, March 12th was the deadline to place the franchise tag, and so they do it on the first day possible, or at least they're expected to. I guess the Chiefs haven't officially done it, but it's all signs pointing there. Nobody's
surprised. Ian Rappaport's reporting it.
It's a done deal in that regard. Yeah. And I think most people expected this to happen, that Chris Jones would be franchise tag. The bigger question is, all right, franchise tag, does he A, stay on the tag and play a whole season with Kansas City on the franchise tag? They tagged him now. They still have till July 15th, I think at 4 o'clock Eastern time, to do a long-term deal. Of course, the draft is before that. Do you have a tag and trade scenario before the draft? Do you have a tag and trade scenario right before the start of the season? There's a lot still in play. This is the first step, right, that kind of had to happen. Nobody was expecting a long-term deal to be announced before March 12th or anything like that. I mean, I would be stunned. I really would.
I didn't think it'd take that long, but I also didn't think they'd do it quite this quick.
Because
the results were, they were said to be meeting with his agents today. Like, today was supposed to be the meeting day between Brett Veach and Chris Jones' agent. I kind of thought maybe those conversations went a certain way. But I honestly, I don't think it means one thing or another, as you mentioned, Gold. We have gone through this twice now in Kansas City in two different scenarios over the last season. Frank Clark was franchised and then eventually traded to Kansas City. Dee Ford was franchised and then later moved to San Francisco. The question is this one of those times that they actually franchise him and work out a long-term deal? This is not a stunning result. I kind of thought they might wait a couple of days because they had until March 12th. But maybe this is just like, hey, this is the safety net of all safety nets. So let's just...
Yeah, who knows what the meeting was, Cody? It could have been, hey, we want to work out a long-term deal with you still. We're going to go ahead and put you on the franchise tag while we do that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it just kind of depends on who you're talking to.
Like there's
Mike
Garofalo. There's nothing that prevents them. Even though you said maybe you're surprised that they did it so quickly or they're going to do it so quickly, it doesn't prevent them from doing a long-term deal. So why would you wait until right up until March 12th and then tag them? There's no reason to do that either. Just to me, this makes all the sense in the world. You tag them now, you can still work on a long-term deal, see where things progress over the next couple of months before the draft. And I think before the draft, you probably have a really good idea whether or not you think it's likely that you can get a long-term deal done or not. And if you can't, if you don't feel it's heading in the right direction, then you're probably trading him before the start of the draft. I when's the last time a Chiefs player, and I guess this is something we can look up here in a second, last time a Chiefs player was franchise tagged and actually played on it all the way through and wasn't traded? Because it's yeah, you brought
like
up the...
fully, it doesn't seem like very often
that's
anymore.
What I'm saying. Teams... I'm trying to think of examples, like Clowney down in Houston even. I'm just, even whether you're talking about the Chiefs or not, Clowney down in Houston was franchise tagged and was upset, and then got traded a week or two before the start of the season to Seattle. You mentioned the Dee Ford example, of course, was traded. So how often is it? I just don't think it's very often now where guys are franchise tagged and play, other than maybe the quarterback position, which we might see come into play this offseason for a couple of teams, or one team in particular, maybe the Titans.
Well, it could, and that's a team that they've at least talked about, but also, boy, based on just where their financials are as far as needing to get something done with Derrick Henry too, you'd almost rather franchise tag him then get yourself in the situation. So last year, I'll just give you last year's history of franchise tag players. The 49ers franchise tag Robbie Gould, he signed an extension. The Texans franchise tag Jadeveon Clowney, they trade him to the Seahawks. The Chiefs franchise tag D4, they trade him to the Niners. The Seahawks franchise tag Frank Clark, they trade him to the Chiefs. The Cowboys franchise tag DeMarcus Lawrence, he signed a 5-year, $105 million extension. And the Falcons non-exclusive franchise tag Grady Jarrett, who they then also signed to an extension. So what? A 50-50 rate is what I'm telling you. The previous year, there were five guys franchise tag. Kyle Fuller for the Bears, DeMarcus Lawrence, who that was, he got franchise tag again. He obviously played the full season. You just asked that question.
Yep, so that's the first example of that in the last 2 years.
Ezekiel Ansah, who actually played the full. He didn't sign a contract.
Okay.
LaMarcus Joyner, who did not sign a contract. And Jarvis Landry, who eventually signed a 5-year, $75 million extension. So over the last 3 years, you would do that. Because even if you go back to 17, again, it was five players. Three players didn't sign an extension. None were traded to sign an extension. So the franchise tag over the last 3 years doesn't really tell us much other than what the three true results are. It's about a third, third, third. Third of a chance you get traded. Third of a chance you sign an extension. Third of a chance you just play under the franchise tag for that final season for a team. And while those numbers aren't exactly right, what this tells us is, okay, they franchised him and now they get to work on the deal. It doesn't, I wouldn't tell, you know, because somebody under the, you know, the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line is saying, you know, like maybe the meeting didn't go well, Mike. I wouldn't look at it that way.
No,
for
not
me,
at all.
I would just say that this is the expected move you do while you work towards a long-term deal.
This was the expected result, and you can't all of a sudden, oh, this means the meeting didn't go well at all. I don't think so at all. I think we could have, maybe it didn't go well, but by this news coming out does not mean you can definitively say anything. I don't think anything's changed, Cody. I really don't. Nothing's changed. Nobody expected a long-term deal to be announced today.
No.
Maybe you didn't expect today reports to start coming out on the first official day you could tag somebody after it was pushed back two more days or whatever it was initially. Maybe you thought it'd be a couple more days. Other than that, this is all what you would expect so far.
As correctly pointed out by the 913 on the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line, the last Chiefs player to be franchise tag and play under that deal the entire year, Eric Berry,
okay,
who then 1 year later obviously signed the long-term extension with Kansas City. That was in 2016 that took place. But it happens plenty. Jermaine Johnson, the Rams, have seemed guilty of it constantly, seemingly. Kirk Cousins played on a franchise tag without a long-term deal recently. You know, there's a history of guys who just play under that tag, so that still is in play. But you're right. It just doesn't change much for them. Like, they will be slightly over the cap after they franchise him.
But the league year doesn't start for weeks. So
yeah, they don't have to get under that number until then. But eventually that does become a problem. The league new year, eventually you do actually have to finagle things. Now, there's a lot of different ways to do that. One, Sammy Watkins is on your radar and you're looking to renegotiate that contract. And there's plenty of things that can kind of cycle in that number, but it doesn't change much for the Chiefs right now other than they had to do that to continue these conversations. So I don't think it changes much on this end just yet.
We'll see if any more details come out as the day goes on, as the show goes on here. But again, the somewhat breaking news coming out from Ian Rappaport. Initially, he was first to report that the Chiefs are going to franchise tag Chris Jones. And we'll see what happens going for the league year, March 18th. We're still waiting on this new CBA as well. And for the first time that I can recall, we see the amount of players speaking out publicly about this, and not just random NFL players, star players speaking up. You had Aaron Rodgers, you had Russell Wilson both taking to Twitter essentially and putting out statements with voicing their displeasure with the current proposal that exists, that it looks like will be most likely the final proposal and what will ultimately probably be enacted by both the NFLPA and the NFL as a whole, and will move forward for the next 10 plus years. And of course that does include the 17th game. And Pouncey, who did not hold anything back, right? Did not hold anything back whatsoever. And here's some of what he had to say. He took to Instagram.
Man, it's so crazy, man. I vote no. That NFLPA, the dudes at the top, the leaders, man, that they ain't looking out for the best of the players. If y'all want my vote, the Pouncey Twins vote no. And if any player on any one of our teams, if y'all hurt for rent money or anything while we go through this lockout, call us. Man, we got way more money than what they had back in the days. We ain't got to worry about that. All the vets on each team stand the fuck up. Stand up. Show these guys we care about them. Man, I care about all you young players, and I love you guys to death. I ain't gonna let y'all down. Trust and believe. They trying to sign a bull deal just so these motherfuckers and the president can go around and smile and say, I got something done. You ain't done.
Marquise Pounce not holding anything back, mentioning that him and his brother would help take care, at least he says, of some players. If you're wondering just how much has he made in his career for him to be able to extend that
rent?
Offer, $66 million in 10 seasons, the career earnings for Pouncey. That was the most vocal we've heard any player, I would say, like ever when it comes to NFL collective bargaining. Like, I mean, I understand now with social media, it's easier for you to just hop on while he was driving around or in his car, hop on Instagram and just why your emotions are just raw. And let everybody know how you're feeling about that. You know, that was the route he took. Aaron Rodgers went with a statement, and Russell Wilson went with a tweet. And those have been the three most outspoken so far. I know Richard Sherman as well kind of commented about the health side of it being more important. You can't put a dollar amount on the health and safety of players and everything like that.
I'm waiting for a player at the lower level to say something. Or a Chiefs player. Because that's where we kind of are on this. Like, one, all the players who've spoken out, you just said how much Pouncey's made in his career, $62 million. We know how much Aaron Rodgers made in his career, a lot. Russell Wilson, a lot. I think it's easier to speak out on these things when you've got that kind of money because you can wait. And I know Pouncey's saying, look, man, I'll pay your rent. Does that go for every team? And paying rent is one thing. Shorting a guy's already short career, say a majority of the players in the league for 4 years, you're asking them to give up hundreds of thousands of dollars. You paying that out? Because they can't be sure they're going to get that extra year that you already got. And so that's the problem. But I'm kind of curious to find out how the Chiefs players are going to respond to this. I went through, because why wouldn't you, the likes on Twitter of multiple Chiefs players, and for the most part, they've just stayed out of it. Basking in the glow that is winning the Super Bowl and staying the hell out of the CBA. Patrick Mahomes did like a single tweet about the CBA negotiations as it sits. Not that that tells you where he stands or whatever, but, you know, look, it's what I've got. And it was from Calais Campbell. It said, fact, all players now have a chance to educate themselves on the proposed CBA. Everyone has a vote and a voice. And having just went through hours and hours of discussion, it's not easy. Most reps were torn on which way to vote. What he's saying simply is educate yourself and vote almost in a way in the best interest of, you know, yes, the league, but you have to vote sometimes for yourself and a majority of the league. And I think that that's where, again, they're going to continue to be. And it seems like the 17th game is a sticking point for these teams, as it should be. Demoris Smith talked about why these negotiations have been so heated about that and why the 17th game is such a sticking point.
And I get that. And I think that no player would want to play an extra game. And that's why it's been such a long, torture process of talking about it. But, you know, I think you went on the road with us to visit a team. That's a conversation that I had with every team, that the league was conditioning an early deal on the 17th game. And that was a part of the package for an early deal. Remember, all of this conversation is about an early deal and a deal that gets done before expiration. And that was a critical term for the players. And for the players who have, you know, don't want to do 17 under any reason, those players will vote their conscience.
And that was, I think, what you were alluding to a little bit, Cody. You just say some of these players are going to vote what you think is best for you, or you're going to vote for what you think is best for the league overall. But it works both ways. When you mention with Rodgers and Sherman and Pouncey and others, big name NFL players speaking out, we're talking about it because they're saying it, right? Rodgers and Russell Wilson saying things is going to get way more traction than third string quarterback. So that in that realm,
but Mahomes
it's
can
great.
Speak on it.
Sure. But hold on for a second. I was going to say, so when you look at those athletes, they get more attention from it, but they're not the ones that are impacted. It's a weird balance where the guys that are most impacted by you not agreeing maybe to this current proposal that's out there and the extra money and some security that could come with it for that extra game, for example, those guys aren't speaking out, but they're the ones that benefit the most. And they, in a weird way, I don't want to say they can't speak out, but people aren't going to listen to the third string tight end the way they're going to listen to Aaron Rodgers' opinion about it. And so it's that's the issue that within the union that they have when it comes to when how they're going to vote this out. I just feel also because this go around in 2020, not that there wasn't social media in 2009 and 2010 when the last negotiations were going on, but I still don't think Twitter was you didn't have the type of knowledge that was out there around those negotiations as you did or as you do now, because there was still some gamesmanship, I guess, when it came to 2010 and 2009 when there was negotiating going on where you were trusting your rep maybe to give you some information. Whereas now, no matter what your rep's telling you, you all that information is accessible to you. The reports that are coming out via Twitter and all that kind of stuff, some of that stuff, those are things that players maybe wouldn't have been able to know without Twitter. As weird as that sounds, you can say, oh, do a better job of educating yourself. Yes, but now there's no hiding behind some of the details. Like the players know when people are pointing out some of the things that are not good to them in these negotiations, that was stuff that maybe they didn't have access to. Maybe they didn't realize on their own, and other people are pointing out it's easier to get your message out and to have access to the information now than it was in 2010. And it's, I understand that the information they would argue was accessible. It's just so much easier, I feel like, now with social media for some of these athletes even to be a little bit better educated.
Are we going to hear from any Chiefs players in this?
See, that's the thing. Because the big name ones
who would speak out against it, because those are the only voices we're hearing right now, right? The only voices we're hearing right now are the ones speaking out against it. So they would be what? Mahomes, Kelce, Clark, Chris Jones, and you wouldn't expect...
See, Frank Clark, though, and I apologize, I don't remember the source of the interview, but there was an interview 2 weeks ago or so about the 17th game, and Frank Clark was asked, would you be okay with it? He said, give me more money. That was his response. And I would imagine for star players, that is going to be the biggest response that people are going to have.
And the answer is, I don't know, kind of. Not really, but here's some. It's just, it's a huge risk for them. But in the end, I just don't know how they ever get through this. They have yet to really have, this is the most leverage they've had in a labor negotiation in a while. But it's pretty clear that the owners still have more leverage and are unwilling to budge from their current location. Like, they gotta be really willing to step out on a limb. I kind of hope we hear from some Chiefs players.
I hope we do. I just would be very surprised. I would love to hear it. But I think it would be very, very surprising if Chiefs players, if any of them, I mean, Dustin Colquitt's your player rep. I believe he is still the current player rep for Kansas City.
Yeah, where's he? We got people essentially admitting whether they voted yes or no on this thing. Aaron Rodgers admitted he voted no. He's their player rep. He sat in that meeting. And he's got the kind of money. He's got FU money, man. He doesn't have to sit in those meetings. He can just let somebody else do it. It's not the star quarterback on every team who's the player representative on that, because that comes with some heat. That comes with some real pressure to make sure you get the right deal for a team. I hope we hear from a Chiefs player because I'm kind of curious where they stand as a team. This thing filters down. And obviously there's team discord on this. Just like anything else, I think it's going to come down to kind of a close 50-50-ish vote. I don't think it's going to be like it passes 65-35, even though the majority of players would probably land in that range that it benefits them financially versus the others.
It depends on what you want the perception to be. I don't know if it'll be 50-50. We know it's going to pass. I don't think it'll be that close to a 50-50. I'd be very, very surprised. I think a lot of times when you have votes like this, you want to give the perception that more people are on board with it. You're not going to have universal support, of course. I think you want the perception to go out there that there's a little, at least the NFL is hoping. They don't want this to pass. The NFL doesn't, and it's near 50-50. Because then it gets out of how unhappy so many of these players are. Like I think there's a little bit of PR spin that'll happen on this by the time it's all said and done, and it's not going to be 50-50 type of vote. It'll be far more than that.
And it's like 55-45. I just don't see it going the other way. And by the way, we'll get back to it. The news again that the Chiefs have franchise tag Chris Jones. We got our Chiefs Red Half Hour coming up at 11:30. We'll get to that in just a moment as well. But when you're talking about, you know, whether or not Chiefs players should speak up, if you ever read the mentions of any time, like, I don't know if you went through the mentions of Aaron Rodgers' comments. I did.
To be expected.
It's what you'd expect.
And that's why I think you have to be very careful. It's terrible to say, but I think you have to be very careful about when you speak up. So, depending on, now Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay, but he's Aaron Rodgers. You know, Richard Sherman has had no issue ever speaking up in his career, and he's in the Bay Area currently.
But Russell Wilson has spoken more and more and become a more verbal player as things have gone on.
Russell Wilson's a star, and he's in Seattle. I'm serious.
Patrick Mahomes is the biggest star in the NFL right now, which means he has the largest voice.
Sir, we were texting last night, and I think Serta brought up an interesting point, and it's you do have to know the market that you're in a little bit, too. If you're not the star, if you're not that star, like Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's a star player.
You think Mahomes would get criticized in Kansas City if he spoke out against the collective bargaining agreement?
Would there be some? Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, there would be some people. And Aaron Rodgers, despite the fact that he's been the best quarterback in the NFL for a decade, he is also in a market that is not very conducive to him speaking out about this type of stuff. Aaron Rodgers doesn't generally...
That's a very blue-collar town.
Yes. Aaron Rodgers generally doesn't do that type of stuff. He's normally kind of quiet on this front. So for him to do it, it means that he's trying to utilize his power and his platform. I would love to see a Chiefs player do this, but we've never seen a Chiefs player really be vocal about this stuff. And I think part of it is the market, because Kansas City has traditionally been a very... oh, I would love to make millions of dollars to play a game type of town.
It's a hard line to draw because it's monopoly money. When we're talking about like what NFL players make, you're like, what's the difference between $40 million and $30 million? You're like $10 million. It's the difference for you between $30,000 and $40,000. I know that it seems like a comically large amount of money in which it's hard to grasp, but that's the difference.
And you have to remember, going back to even the example we continue to go with that 17th game, the lower end of that, there's got $50,000. Like the lowest guy is maybe making $50,000 on that 17th game. Now it's a significant raise. You do have a $50,000 raise.
Good job, man. $50,000 for one game. Yeah, that rate.
But still, that's why it's so important for so many, the majority of the National Football League, and why I think this thing will pass anyway.
Last minute.
Be joined by Therese Paylor at 12:30 to talk about the Chiefs franchise tagging Chris Jones. But some other news out of the NFL Combine this morning. LSU quarterback Joe Burrow, the likely number one overall pick we would expect, to put to rest earlier this week that he would not go to the Bengals if they drafted him number one overall, did meet with their ownership group and with head coach Zach Taylor and his staff. And apparently in an 18-minute interview, they came away very confident in Burrow, who they said was exceptional in their interview, probably essentially locking him up to be the number one pick in the NFL draft.
He's got the highest over-under for the Vegas odds for the Wonderlic at 28.5.
I'm sure he interviews well.
I'm going to take the under for every single person at the station, including myself, at 28.5.
Yes, that would be the smart play. That would definitely be the smart play.
You were so quick. Yeah.
Yeah, I would be stunned if anybody got over 28.
I just wasn't. I was disappointed in my performance on the Wonderlic this year. I did not outperform my score from last year.
You were a good 23, man. You were solid.
Zero confidence that I got there this year.
But Cincinnati, I mean, not that I don't think it's true that he performed well in his interview, but Joe Burrow, I mean, if that's the guy they're going to take, they're going to continue to flow. We love the guy. You're not going to say, oh, we were concerned about Joe Burrow and then draft him. So either way, there was going to be positive stuff coming out of that interview.
He's the best quarterback prospect since Peyton Manning. I don't know how to put this to people. I don't know how, like, somehow we talk about hand size. He's incredibly smart and just came off the greatest collegiate season of all time. I think he's going to be great in the league. I'm quite bullish on him versus the others, but I'm not surprised he came away impressing the Bengals, and it's pretty clear he's going to go there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.